Okay, we're in Hilchos Yontiv, Parak Aleph. We're dealing with some of the halachas that relate to Muksa and Nolad. And right before this, in Halacha Yud Ches, the Rambam brought in the classic case of Nolad, which is the classic case of Muksa by Yontiv, which is the rooster or chicken that's set aside for laying eggs, can't be used on Yontiv unless it's Mukhan beforehand for the specific purpose of eating. So in this similar note, in Halacha Yud Ches, the Rambam says, Chol Mechem the Shabbos, the Chol Mechem the Yontov, obviously. I'm allowed to cook food on Thursday or Friday for Shabbos, or on Erev Yontov for Yontov. Ava Ein Yontov Mechem the Shabbos, Lo Shabbos Mechem the Yontov. But I can't do Achana. I can't do Achana from Yontov to Shabbos, or Shabbos to Yontov. Lefikach, Beitza Shonolda B'Yontov, Achar Shabbos Asura. So therefore, an egg that's laid after Yontov, assume that's laid on Yontov after Shabbos, is Aser. Even if the chicken had been set aside for the purpose of eating, which the Gemara in Beitza takes up what that difference is, Hoil Umeemesh Nigmara HaBeitza, right? Since the egg had finished forming the day before, Nimsos Shabbos Mechon Osol Yontov. So since the egg gets finished on Shabbos, now when it's complete state on Shabbos, it's now being Mechon for Yontov. Vasruah B'chol Yontov. And I can't have it at all on Yontov Mishum Yontov Shachar Shabbos. V'chem Beitza Shenolda B'chol Shabbos Asura Gzema Mishum Shabbos Shachar Yontov. Now, there's an interesting expansion of the halacha, but based on this, any egg that's laid on Shabbos, I can't eat because of the potential situation of that occasional Shabbos coming after Yontov situation. But it's only because of that situation that that Nolad would ever apply to Shabbos. But in general, Nolad, the idea of Nolad is actually, for the most part, foreign to Shabbos. Okay, halacha chaf, u'kashem sh'asr la'achla, kach asr la'taltala. So once the object becomes asr to eat, so too the isr muksa applies. I can't move it. V'afilu nis'arva be'elef. And it's interesting, if that egg got mixed up with 1,000 other eggs, kulon asuros, right? All the eggs become usher, right? Because shere the machor yusra kol. Since I know tomorrow they'll all be permitted. The kol davar sheishal matirin. This is another halachic principle. What's called davar sheishal matirin. Anything that will become mutter at some point in the future, afilu be'elef apayim ein abatal. Bittel doesn't work. So normally, what we would say is, if the egg that's usher got mixed up in 1,000 eggs that are mutter, we wouldn't even recognize that as being a problem because we would say. Either bittel barov or bittel b'shishim, those are normal measurements that we use in halacha. But you have something called davar sheishlo matirin, which means that the state of iser is not intrinsic, rather it's situational. And by tomorrow, the egg will be mutter. So therefore, bittel is suspended; it doesn't work, and therefore all the eggs become usser to use on yontif. Let me just finish the halacha. Hashocha tarnagolos b'yontif umatzaba beitz and gemara tzareilu mutaras. Right, so if you shechta chicken on Yontov and you find eggs that are completely done, completed inside, those are mutter. Ain't said davar matzui tamid, the davar sheino matzui ella akrayv amal lo gazurba. So the chachamim felt that it's rare to shechta chicken, open it up, and find a complete egg, completely formed egg. So as a result, that's why the egg will be mutter on Yontov. Okay, lacha chaf aleph. Okay, zesh anuch osim mechutz laaretz. Okay, so now. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, what do we do? Kol yontov me'elu shnei yamim minaku. So the Rambam starts off by saying this is the Achilles heel. People really are bothered by this concept that the idea of celebrating 2 days yontov is minug. The yontov sheni, okay, but then the Rambam qualifies it. The yontov sheni midivrei sofrim hu u'midvarim shenishchatshu begalus. And the idea of a second day yontov is rabbinical, okay, so it's not just a regular minug. And it's something. It was some innovation they had in Gullus. Vein osim b'nei Eretz Yisrael shnei yamim tovim ela brushim levad. And as we know, people living in Eretz Yisrael ever do 2 days a yontov of Rosh Hashanah. But outside of that, they never do 2 days a yontov. Ovehilchos kiddush hachodesh misaper zeh nivar ikur minag zeh u'mai zeh tam osim Rosh Hashanah shnei yamim b'chol makom. So the Rambam, it's interesting, he tells you this. He's going to tell you that in Kiddush HaKodesh, which he doesn't quite say what he said here, in Hilchos Kiddush HaKodesh, which is down the road, not too far away, the Rambam will explain the source for this minhag, why we do it this way, and why Rosh Hashanah is different. Okay. Now, Lach HaKapes, Yontov Sheni, Alfi Shuma Divrei Sofrim. So even though the second day Yontov is Dirabanan, Kol Dovash Aser Bishon, Aser B'Sheni. Anything that's Aser on the first day Yontov is Aser on the second day Yontov. The Kol Mechal Yontov Sheni, Afilo Shuvash Hashana, Bein Bedavash Shum Bisham Shvus, Bein Belacha, Bein Shiyatza Chutzutchum, Makin Oso Makas Mardus, O Minadin Oso, right? Im Lo Yeh Minatalmidim. Interesting. So, what do you call it? If somebody goes ahead and is Mechal the second day Yontov, okay? Even if it's, if what he does in the second Yontov is a rabbinical prohibition, okay, it's irrelevant. Anything he does that you're not allowed to do in the first day that he does in the second day, he should get either Makas Mardus, or he gets put into Nidui, which means he's basically, which you saw back in Hilchos Talmud Torah, he's basically, it's like a mini cherem, he's ostracized, set aside from the community, right? As long as he's what he called, unless he was a student, meaning he was someone who studied Torah, then we wouldn't do this to him. Now that's a separate reason why that's the case. Right, and just like the negatives apply, so to the positives. So whatever positive idea exists on Rishon, like for instance, Yerchayiv and Simcha, the same applies with Aseni. So it's a famous distinction. The only thing that makes Yontav Sheni different than Yontav Rishon has to do with handling the deceased. So what's that case? Halacha Chal Gimel. Ketzad. Hames b'Yontav Rishon. So let's say someone dies in the first day Yontov. So we ask non-Jews to prepare the body for Kvura. However, but on the second day Yontov, we can have Jews prepare the body for burial. The anything necessary for the burial, whether it be like, for instance, what do you call it, sewing together the shrouds, etc. All this stuff you're allowed to do. Amazing. So the second day Yontov, this is a very important idea, is for a mace, is considered like a weekday. Even the second day Rosh Hashanah, which is a Kedusha Rechta, nonetheless is considered like a, what do you call it, a day of chol for the deceased. And now ending off the parak, Melachach Avdalid, Shnei Yomtovim, Elo Shagalios, Shtei Kedushas Heim. Okay, Ve'enim Kiyom Mecha. So now comes bringing in Nolan into the picture. The 2 days of Yontov and Chutz La'aretz are really two separate days of Kedusha. It's not one long day. It's two separate days. Ve'enim Kiyom Echad, Lefikach Davar She'haya Muksa B'Yontov Rishon, O She'nola B'Rishon, Im Heichin Oso L'Sheni, Reis Emutter. So if an egg, for instance, was laid on the first day Yontov, I can set it aside to be used on the second day Yontov. Why? Because both days can't be yontov, so to speak, as you'll see. Ketzad, beitza shenol dav rishon tochal b'sheni. Okay, an egg laid on the first day can be eaten on the second. Chayev ov shenit sod dav rishon yochal b'sheni. So too, any animal that was captured on the first day can be eaten on the second. Davar mechubal the karka shenekar rishon yochal b'sheni. Something attached to the ground that was detached on the first day yontov can be eaten on the second. V'chayim mutter lachos ayim yontov sheni v'afi she'ein sham choli. Okay, also, you're allowed to paint your eyes, almost like a makeup type thing, on the second day Yontov. Actually, it was more of a refuah thing, on the second day Yontov, even if it's not for the purpose of sickness. But as we know, by Rosh Hashanah, it's one long day. So there, it's considered one long day for everything. We'll get that in a second, Ron. Next paragraph. Only by the area of the mace is the second day Rosh Hashanah different than the first day. Otherwise, it's the same thing. But if an egg that's laid on the first day Yontov is also the second day Yontov, okay? Shabbos hasmucha liyomtov, okay? Let's say Shabbos comes either before or after Yontov, v'nolda beitza be'echa mehen, asur b'sheni. So there, it's, again, it's just like having two separate days Yontov, it's two separate kedushas, so if it's laid on one, it's asur on the other, v'chein chol chliyotza be'beitza v'afil nolda v'yontov sheni lo socha b'shabes esmucha lo. And that's interesting also, even if the egg is laid on the second day Yontov, and then Shabbos comes after that, you would be allowed to, you would not be allowed to have the egg on Shabbos. Okay, Perek Beis. Okay, now we're going to get to a little more specific halachas of muksa and things of that nature when it comes to Yontov. So he says in Halacha Aleph, Efruach shenola b'yontov asur neshu muksa. So a chicken that hatches out of an egg on yontov, it's asur, it's muksa. The egel shenola b'yontov, okay, but now let's say you have a calf. If that's born on yontov, im haisa imo omedes lachila mutter. So if the mother was set aside, designated for the purpose of eating, okay, it's mutter to have the egel neshu muchan al gabe imo, because it's considered prepared, like in other words, due to the fact of its mother, okay, being prepared. Vilu shachat imo, right? Hayazeh shemayah mutter b'yontov, api shelo nolan. And if I shechted the animal, right, before it gave birth to the eagle on yontov, right, and I found the eagle inside, the eagle will be mutter, right? So the point the Rambam is making is that as long as the animal, the mother has been set aside for the purpose of eating, that's its primary function, then the eagle that's born on yontov, even though normally you would think that's no lie, would still be mutter to have, but not the egg. Halacha beis, at least not the egg by omedes lebeitza. Like halacha beis behemosh yotzos veros chutzot chum. Okay, let's see if animals that wander off to graze outside the tchum. Okay, going back to our tchum, which is our 2,000 amma maximum area you can walk outside the city, right? Ubos vilanos besocha tchum. Okay. And what they do is they wander all, away from the tchum, and then they come back to within the tchum and spend the night there. Hare elu muchanin, okay, they're considered muchan for yantav, set aside for use on yantav. The lochan mehen is shokter sam yantav, and I could take them and shech the animal on yantav. So even though it wandered beyond the tchum, once it comes back inside, okay, it's considered muchan for yantav. Aval shiros vilanos chutz l'tchum, but let's say it grazes and spends the night outside the tchum, im bo b'yantav, if it comes back into the tchum on yantav, ein shokter noso b'yantav neshehem muksa bein das ansheir aleim. Then I wouldn't be allowed to shecht it because the animal's muksa. So again, if the animal wandered outside and spent the night outside the tchum, then if it wandered back in, it's mutter to shecht it. But if it spent, spent the night outside the tchum, if the animal was spent the night within the tchum, then it's mutter for shechita. If it spent the night outside the tchum and then wandered back in, it would not be mutter to shecht it because it'd be considered muksa. Okay? Now the Rambam branches out now into the area of kachim. Halacha gimel, v'chein behemas kachim. So let's say I have an animal that I designate for the Beis HaMikdash. Shenolod ba mum b'yontov. So what happens? So the animal developed the mum b'yontov itself, which means it can no longer be used in the Beis HaMikdash. Ho v'lo haisa daito alea me'erv yontov, also the shachtim yontov. Now here's the problem. When yontov started, the animal was, I looked at it as being hektish. I didn't know about the mum, right? The mum came in yontov itself. What was the status of the animal when yontov started? It was usher. So since that status happened when yontov started, it carries through. Levikach aser liros mume kachim b'yontov. That's why, okay, it is prohibited to go ahead and look closely to see if there's a mum on an animal designated as hektish on yontov itself. Why? Gzera shema yatirem achacham b'mumon. V'yavo zeh lishchot bo b'yom. Because the problem is, what's going to happen? So the chacham is going to say that the mum is a permanent mum, and therefore, he's going to free it from its status as being hektish. And then the person's going to say, great, my animal's not hektish anymore. And then he'll go ahead and shecht it on yontov. Okay? Aval rohu amum me'erv yontov, ulumacher matir osir. Rather, what can he do? He's allowed to look at the mum, or the potential mum, prior to yontov starting, and then say, whether or not it's mutter or usser. But he shouldn't do it on yontov itself, because that could lead someone to an erroneous conclusion. Okay, halacha dalet, bechor, okay? So the firstborn of an animal, which we know also has a certain status of being set aside for mikdash, shenolad umumo imo, okay? So the bechor is born with a mum in it, harezem muchan. Now that's considered muchan for yontov, ve'mevakrin oso b'yontov, okay? So therefore, v'im avar v'ra mumo ubakro v'hitiro harezem shochet v'ocha, okay? So while it's true I can't look closely at the animal to see if there's a mum, let's say I did check to see a mum, right, on the bechor, okay, then I can shecht and eat it. Okay, so bechor is a little bit different. Bechor shenafal lebor, okay, so let's say the firstborn animal falls into like a well or a cistern. Osa lo parnasa bimkomo, okay, so what do? So you give it food to keep it alive inside the cistern. Why? Because I'm not allowed to take it out of the pit or the cistern because I can't shech this animal on Yantov because it has a mum. Because it's a bechor. Okay? Oso v'es beno shenafel labor. But let's say both the mom and the child fell into the cistern. Males arishon amanat l'shachto v'eno shochto. Okay? So now, this is very interesting. This is a case of an endorsed harama, an endorsed permitted act of trickery. So what do? You could take out the first one with the das that you're going to shecht it, but not shecht it. Okay? Umarim umales asheni. Marim is the sneaky part. It could be sneaky. Take out the second one, okay? Almanas shachto. Vishokad es ezim henshiyirza. And then what he could do is he can shecht whichever one he wants. Okay? Why are you allowed to do this sneaky way? Mishum tsar ba'alei chayim itiru laharim. Because you have the principle of tsar ba'alei chayim, and in that case, we allow harama to take place. Now, behema schulin shenafla minagag. Let's say a stam animal, it's not hektish, falls off the roof. Verehi tsricha bedika. Okay? And therefore, because it fell off the roof, you're going to have to check the animal to make sure there's no trefus in it before you shecht it. Shochten osab yantov. You could still shecht an yantov, the tivdak, and then check it afterwards. Efshar shetim sak shera v'tocha. Because even though normally I would check it before shechting it, I can also say, listen, it's possible the animal, nothing happened to it, even though it fell off the roof, and therefore I can go ahead and shecht it and check afterwards to make sure, obviously, if there's any trefus. But I can rely on that and that possibility, and therefore be able to shecht it and eat it. Okay, lachahei. Avazin v'tarnagolon v'yonim, sheba bayis. Okay. So let's say you have, I have a domesticated dove. Okay, a dove that I keep in my my bird cage. Okay, hare elu muchanan ve'enas rikhan zimun. It's interesting. So these are considered, if I keep them in my house, they're considered to be muchan, right? And I would not require a special designation in order to shach them and eat them. Aval yone shuvach, okay, v'yone aliyah v'tziporim, shekinano betfichin, o bebiro v'pardes, hare elu muksa. But birds or doves that are kept in those bird houses or in all sorts of other areas, orchards, whatever it might be, meaning they're in the wild, so to speak, those are muksa. Bitzarech lezame mi be'erev. I have to designate them, meaning the wild doves that I plan on shechting, I have to designate them before yanta. V'lomar elu ve'elu aninoto ve'enu tzarech lananea. Right? So I have to actually point out and say, I'm going to shech that bird and that bird and that bird before yanta starts. But I don't have to actually, like, shake the bird itself, or let's say there are a bunch of birds in the nest. I don't have to shake the nest to express that. It's enough just to verbalize my designation of the birds to be used to shecht on Yantav. Okay, halacha vav. Okay, now gets there's another interesting quirk in muksa. Zimin shchorim ulavanim. Right, so let's say I set aside before Yantav, I have a bunch of birds, and some are black and some are white, and I designate both black and white, these black and white birds to shecht and eat on Yantav. Umatza shchorim bimkom levanim. And what happens? So what I find is that the black birds were replaced by white ones, and the white ones were replaced by black ones. Hare elu asurim. The birds are asur. Why? Sha'ani omer shema osan shezimein parchu lahen ve'elu achirimein. Because what's possible that could happen was that the ones that I designated for eating, they flew away, and new ones came in. They're called suffik muhan asur. That's the principle. Anytime there's a suffix in what I set aside for eating, let's say, on or shechting to eat on Yantav, if there's a suffix in that, it becomes aser, okay? Even though it's a derabanan. Zimen shnayim matzah shlosha kol aser. If I set aside two birds and I find three, they're all aser. However, shlosho matzah shnayim mutarim. But if I set aside three and there were two that left, which means two left over, that's mutar. Zimen mitzocha kain. Okay, let's say I set aside birds that are inside the nest, and then I find them in front of the nest. If the only ones left are these, and they can't fly away, even if there's another nest in the area, literally within like 50 amos in a corner, hare elu mutarin. Right, that's the key. They're mutter. Why? She'ein ha medada madada ela keneged kanu, what do you call it, bishava. Okay, rather, because halacha is that the animals, the birds, since they can't fly, right, what they'll basically do, literally, is that they'll walk along. I guess the term is waddling, right? The birds will waddle along, okay, along a straight line towards their nest. So we can have a chazaka that the birds, even though they're outside the nest, those are the same birds I designated from the day before. Okay, halacha zayin, in a similar fashion, dugim shebivivaren gedolim. So when I have fish that are on these large fish ponds, v'chein chayav ov shebivivaren gedolim. Also, animals that are like chickens that are in a large pen, kol shehu mechusar tzida, right? Ad sheomrim have mitzuda v'natsudenu hareza muksa. Vein sadan osam biyontov. Okay, v'im sad lo yochlu. Okay, so if these animals, what do you call it? In order for it to be mutter, the animal can't be in a state that I require anything like, for instance, an implement to capture the animal. I mean, the animal, even though it's in a pen, it needs more capturing for me to be able to use it, okay? That's still muksa. I can't do that. The kol she'enot tzarech mitzuda, but if the animal does not require any catching, okay, harezim muchan, like I don't need to use a net to catch it, it's considered set aside, v'tzadin oso b'yontov, and therefore I can actually trap it, so to speak, on yontov, v'ochlin oso, okay? V'chein chaya she'kinot. Now again, what we're talking about is that I don't need to do a special, I mean, in other words, the animal's already designated, or excuse me, animal's considered in a state already being captured. So whatever I do would be superfluous. V'chein chaya she'kinot v'pardes, ha'samach le'ir, yaldea, k'shehen k'tanim, she'enan tzrichen tzida, enan tzrichen tzimim, neisha daito aleya. So also, let's say you have an animal that sets up its lair of kids in the local garden, okay? The small offspring of the animal do not require zimun. Why? Because we can assume, right, that that the person has in mind to take these small little animals and use them for yantav, meaning it's stam das by these small animals, is that they're allowed to be used, that I'm going to be eating them on yantav itself. So they don't require a separate zima. Okay, one more halacha, halacha ches. Mitzudos chayav ovos adagim sheparsam erev yantav. So let's say I set up traps, okay, for, let's say, these various animals, okay, on erev yantav. Lo yito mehen bi yantav, ela imken yodeh shenitzodim erev yantav. I shouldn't partake of them on yantav itself unless I know, right, that they would go ahead and, what it called, be captured on Erev Yontov. Okay? Also, Hasokar Imas Hamayim, Me'erev Yontov. So let's say I went ahead and stopped up an area of water, like a dam, on Erev Yontov. Lumachar Hishkim Matzav Adagim. And the next morning I wake up and I find out that there's a whole bunch of fish that washed up because obviously I set the dam up in the water. Hare Elu Mutarim. Shekvar Nitzodim Erev Yontov. Varein Muchanan. The fish are mutter because we can assume that the fish were, and it, so to speak, trapped or captured before Yontov started. Therefore, they're considered muchan. I can go ahead and enjoy those fish on Yontov. Okay, we'll stop here and